Here's to hoping one of Carter Hawkins' post-lockout free agent signings doesn't make our not-so-hot list. Locked On Cubs rolling at you after this.
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome back. It's great to be back with you. Had a few days off for the holiday. Want to thank you, as always, for making Locked On Cubs your first listen each and every morning. We are a daily podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, at Locked On Cubs on Twitter, at Chicago Cubs PA. Free and available wherever you download your favorite cast. Also on YouTube as well. Check out our new YouTube page at Locked On Cubs. That's a Locked On Cubs YouTube channel. Listen, we hope you had a wonderful weekend, however you may celebrate, that you were safe, healthy, and enjoyed yourself. It means the world to have you with us here again this morning. I missed you guys. Again, interact with us socially. It makes things so much more fun for me at Chicago Cubs PA and at Locked On Cubs. I love the interactions. It's just been so awesome. Great, great stuff to get to today. We're going to continue our countdown of the greatest Cubs to wear each number in the history of the organization. Who was the best number 31 to ever play for the Cubs? That may be a trick question. Also, want to talk about the great Billy Williams and offer condolences later on regarding the passing of his beloved wife, Shirley, as well. And we'll touch on that. But first, we want to hop right in here today on a Tuesday morning. Happy Tuesday again to you. We've talked at length about what the Cubs have done in the free agent market already, pre-lockout, and also what I think, or we here at Locked On Cubs think, they should do post-lockout, because our opinion here matters. Just ask us. Look what they've already done. Yan Gomes brought in to back up Wilson Contreras. Marcus Stroman was the big splash at the deadline hour before the lockout was imposed. Clint Frazier, a very low-risk, super high-reward potential platoon outfielder, which I love. We're going to dedicate a show to him coming up here shortly. Michael Hermosillo, that one kind of flew under the radar. And maybe there's some potential targets after the lockout. We have just gone after this at length. But Carlos Correa, anyone? Shortstop? Marcus Stroman has recruited him already, we're told. Man, would he look good up the middle? I mean, is it a potential possibility? Yes. The linkage between Carlos Correa and the Cubs camp was not rumor. There is mutual interest, and there was discussion per Bruce Levine before the lockout was imposed. So with all that said, I thought it'd be fun to take a look at some of the free agent signings and moves the Cubs have made over the years that may be dubbed the worst contracts of all time. Now, let me preface this little activity by saying this is in no way meant to disrespect any of these players. I mean, hell, when these deals were made, we were all probably fairly pumped. You'd never know how things are going to pan out. Let's face it. I mean, it's educated gambling sometimes, as like the NFL draft or the MLB draft may be. I will say this as well in before starting. Jason Hayward not making the list, because I know some of you mumbled his name as soon as I said the worst free agent contracts in Cubs history, because of the term, because of the money, because of the production that they have or have not gotten from him. Listen, I hear you on all those points, but this team does not win a world championship in 2016 without him being on that roster. And I'm not talking about the speech in rain delay theater time. Although, wouldn't you love to know what really happened in that room? I mean, that's like a two-hour documentary you could make on that. But at any rate, in no particular order, here we go. These are the worst, in my opinion, free agent contracts in Cubs history. In no particular order, we'll start first with Theo's biggest blunder, probably in one of the earliest moves he made during his Cubs tenure. Can you think? You think you know where I'm going with this? Right-handed starter, Edwin Jackson. Signed him to a four-year, $52 million deal. This was after the 2012 season. He kicked things off during his Cubs career by losing a league-high 18 games that year, allowing more than 10 hits per nine innings. If you think things got better from there, because when you lose 18, it can only get better, right? You are sorely mistaken. In 2014, Jackson was actually much worse than the year prior. His ERA ballooned to 6.33 as he went 6-15. Now, here's the interesting thing. Edwin Jackson had a very serviceable major league career and pitched for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, he's the only player in the history of Major League Baseball to have played for 14 different franchises. Let me repeat that. 14 different franchises. Yes, you heard me correctly. He did throw a no-hitter, though. Do you remember that? He has a no-hitter on his resume in the major league. So, listen, can't take that away from him. That's one heck of an accomplishment. But Edwin Jackson definitely makes the list. Turning it back a little bit for this one, but I think most of you will recall this. Jeff Blauser makes the list. Blauser was a two-year, $8.4 million deal in the late 90s. Shortstop, had a great career with the Atlanta Braves and was a mainstay at short for the Braves for many years. Over the course of his career with Atlanta against Cubs pitching, he was a .351 hitter with a .413 on-base percentage, a .611 slugging percentage, and 15 home runs. That was his body of work against the Northsiders as an Atlanta Brave. So he crushed Cubs pitching. Now, in that era, a lot of players maybe did. But keep in mind, this is from the shortstop position, Jeff Blauser with the Braves. So in 1997, comes off a huge season with Atlanta. 308, 17 taters, 70 ribbies in 1997. Hits the market after the 97 season. Cubs say, we got to go get this guy, right? Sign him to that two-year, $8.4 million deal. First two seasons with the Cubs, absolutely horrendous. .226 average, .343 on base percentage, and a .342 slugging percentage. Minuscule. As a matter of fact, it got so bad, he did not even start for the Cubs in the National League Division Series against his former team, the Atlanta Braves. Remember the 98 wildcard year? Phenomenal year. Love that team. He didn't even start in the NLDS at shortstop for the Cubs. Had a really rough go. Ended up retiring after the 99 season at the age of 33. Nice big league career. Coming off a career year in 97, his 30-year-old season. Played a couple in Chicago. Just didn't work out. This one pains me because I loved him as a kid growing up. He was a good player, and his dad is a Cubs legend, no doubt. The Rebel, Randy Huntley's son, Todd, four-year, $23.5 million deal to catch for the Cubs back in the early 2000s. If you recall, before he came to the North Side, he had some monster years with the Mets in the mid to late 90s, 96, 97, then went to LA for a couple years, played with the Dodgers, didn't have quite the success he did in LA that he did in New York, but still very serviceable catcher. And those years with the Mets were monsters. I feel like I was at a game as a kid. I was probably 9 or 10 years old at the most, 8 or 9 years old, where Huntley homered from both sides of the plate in the same game. I feel like that happened, but we'll have to check on that for sure. The couple years with the Dodgers, very respectable, but when he came to the Cubs, the wheels just fell off. In his Cubs career, .199 average, .285 on base percentage, slugged less than .400. That was at about 600 plate appearances overall. Cubs had seen enough after just his second year, dealt him back to the Dodgers, as a matter of fact. But the beauty of that is the players they got back in return for that deal after two really bad years here, Eric Karros and Mark Grzelcyk, whom Harry always referred to as the G-man, because sure as heck, he wasn't going to try to pronounce Grzelcyk. Both those guys obviously played huge, huge roles on that 03 Cubs team. So all not lost there completely. Rounding out our list, and this is one that you might, you know, wondered if I was going to get to or not, Milton Bradley, 3-year, $30 million deal. At the time, if you recall, Jim Hendry, Lou Piniella and company obsessed with bringing in a left-handed bat that had some pop, and they needed it at the time. So I think maybe, you know, while Milton was a very serviceable major league outfielder, had a reputation that preceded him, maybe kind of jumped in head first for a move like this. You know, he made some lackadaisical moves in the outfield, if you recall, but was really a league average player in terms of his Cubs career statistically. But he clashed with Lou Piniella, if you remember, and that ultimately led to him putting the organization on blast in a newspaper article and through the media saying, now I understand why this team has a 1 in 100 years. I mean, things just got really, really nasty, if you recall. That got him suspended for that comment for the rest of the 2009 season. And Hendry sent him packing after that in a trade to the Mariners, which actually brought in Carlos Silva, who had a really good year in his final year in the bigs in 2010 with the Cubs going 10-6. I think he was like 8-2 or something in the first half. Kind of crazy. Honorable mentions and guys who could have made the list, but I thought would have been super unfair. Kosuke Fukudome never really lived up to the hype, especially after that dramatic opening day home run in his Cubs debut. Alfonso Soriano, I love Sori. Great major league career. Good hitter. He had some big years here just on, I don't know. Was he worth the money they gave him? I don't know. But he put up some numbers. So I didn't think that was fair as well. So long story short, Cubs brass, let's try to make some moves that don't end up on this list in the next 2 or 3 years. And I know you won't, all kidding aside. I just thought it'd be fun to take a look back at some of these guys who did not work out free agent wise here on the North Side. So I asked before and I'll ask again, who was the best number 31 to wear a Cubs uniform? I guess it is somewhat of a trick question. We'll tell you coming up after this. Want to talk to you real quick about Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but probably even better. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. And unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy, you know what I mean, if you've had these, or taste chemically, this does not at all. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets boring. It's the same thing day after day after day. Trust me, I can relate to this. By week 3, you're thinking, this isn't worth it. Where's the goods? Where's the chocolate? Built Bars are actually covered in chocolate, 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars are 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs for all of our keto friends, and 17 grams of protein. That's insane. That's a huge amount packed in this awesome little treat. Here's an idea for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, in the office, in the car, wherever they may be. Throw out all the junk, all the sugary, calorie-filled, empty garbage, and replace them with something that's healthy and tastes incredible, and that's the Built Bar. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, say, you can at least eat something that tastes good, that you enjoy, and is good for you while you're eating it as well. So many flavors: coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, yada, yada, yada. List goes on. Just do me a favor. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Locked On Cubs rolls on after this. Welcome back, everybody. Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison. Thank you for being with us. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your weekend was phenomenal. Please interact with us socially at Chicago Cubs PA on Twitter, at Locked On Cubs on Twitter. Check out our YouTube channel if you'd like. I know you don't want to sit there and look at me, but you can if you want. I'm on there. Locked On Cubs YouTube channel as well. Engage with us socially. It makes things so much more fun. And I just love talking baseball with you guys, whatever we might be talking about. Want to thank you for making Locked On Cubs your first listen each and every morning, free and available wherever you download your favorite podcast. It means the world to me to be able to talk to you every morning. And thank you for being here for me, because it's just, I love it. And I hope you're enjoying it as well. We've been doing this little countdown or count up, depending on how you look at it. We started with zero. At the best Cubs player to wear each uniform number in the long and storied history of this organization. Today, we pick up where we left off, number 27. This is such a fun trip down memory lane with some of these player names. How about number 27, Phil Regan? Key part of the bullpen for the 69 Cubs. Had five saves that season in 60 games. As a matter of fact, you'll remember this probably. Some of you younger listeners like myself, he was the pitching coach in the mid-late 90s as well, Phil Regan. 28 is an easy one. The Professor, Kyle Hendricks, won an ERA title for the 2016 World Champions. 7 years and counting as a trusted starter. You'll see him at the top end of this Cubs rotation again in 2022. 29, I mean, come on. Jeff Samardzija. From Notre Dame to Wrigley, he was an all-star in 2014, the last of his 7 years on the north side. Do you believe he was a Cub for 7 years? That's crazy. Going back a little bit as we hit number 30, the best player to ever wear number 30 for the Chicago Cubs, Kenny Holtzman. He was the team's first ever Major League Baseball draft pick. That's right. And the lefty authored a couple no-hitters for the Cubs in 69, then again in 1971. Check those out, actually, on YouTube if you'd like to hear a great Jack Brickhouse call of the Kenny Holtzman no-hitters. Here's my trick question for the day. I don't mean to bend your mind too much after a long weekend. Who's the best number 31? We had to cheat here. Come on. Retired numbers for two guys. How about Fergie and Greg? Of course, both legends, Cy Young Award winners in Chicago. Hall of Fame heights for both of them. Fergie Jenkins and Greg Maddux. On to number 32, the very underrated and awesome guy, John Lieber. Spent parts of 5 years with the Cubs. He was a 20-game winner, an all-star, and a Cy Young contender in 2001. Find me someone who had a nastier slider than John Lieber. Fun story, actually. Had the chance to sit down with John to do a one-on-one interview. I'd love to have him on Locked On Cubs here as well in the near future. But he was at a fantasy camp that the Cubs did at Wrigley several years back. Now, John was a right-handed pitcher, but hit left-handed. He was taking BP at Wrigley, dropping bombs out of the ballpark. I mean, deep 400-footers, which was actually really fun to watch. John Lieber, best number 32 in Cubs history. Number 33, how about Joe Carter? Worn by Carter during his rookie year in 1983. Then in 84, he was traded for Rick Sutcliffe. We all know how that ended. Pretty darn good. Joe Carter then back later as a broadcaster for the Cubs in the early 2000s as well, working alongside Chip Carey, if you remember that. Number 34, this is an easy one, Kerry Wood. Lester helped lead the Cubs to glory, no doubt, but Kid K made 34 famous on the north side. You know, couldn't go wrong either way, but Kerry, best number 34 in Cubs history. This is a cool one, number 35. How about Cole Hamels? 220 lifetime earned run average at Wrigley Field is the third lowest in history with a minimum of 150 innings pitched. He had so much success at Wrigley, actually threw a no-hitter against the Cubs, if you recall, during his time with the Phillies. I saved my scorecard from that game. Only no-hitter I've ever seen in person. Unfortunately, it was against the Cubs. Don Elston, the best number 36 to ever wear a Cubs uniform. Only Marmol and Lee Smith have more relief outings in Cubs history than Don Elston. I bet you didn't know that. Keeping it back yesteryear a little bit. How about Dick Ellsworth, the best number 37 to ever play for the Chicago Cubs? He was a rotation fixture in the 1960s. Actually won 22 games with a 2.11 earned run average way back in 1963. Can't make a list like this without big Carlos Zambrano, number 38. 11 years, 3 All-Stars, 3 Silver Slugger Awards. You know he loved to hit. He also hit through a no-hitter in 2008 up in Milwaukee at Miller Park. You remember that. That game was relocated because of the hurricane. Number 39, Ray Prim. He paced the senior circuit in ERA for the 45 Cubs, 240 to be exact. They reached the World Series that year. And we just mentioned this gentleman, and we'll mention him again in the future because he's one of my favorites, the best number 40 in Cubs history. You guessed it, the Red Baron, Rick Sutcliffe, 16-1 with a 2.69 ERA after a 1984 trade with Cleveland, winning the NL Cy Young Award. Love this list. We'll roll on with it later in the week as we pick up where we left off. The best number 41 and counting coming up after we resume. Can you think who might be? I will say this. The Cubs family lost a huge part of what they do this past week, and I want to address that here shortly. Before we do, I just want to mention that BetOnline has you covered for all of your holiday season gambling with more props, better odds, better lines than ever before as football marches towards college bowl season as well as the NFL playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the best sports action all season long. Do me a favor. Head to their new website or mobile site today and sign up to receive your bonus. It's a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. Promo code LOCKEDON from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of this amazing offer. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So don't wait. Take advantage of all the new amazing offers today. Locked On Cubs. More right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. Locked On Cubs, a Tuesday edition. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every morning. We do appreciate it more than you know. I want to conclude today on a little bit of a somber note. The wife of Cubs legend and Hall of Famer Billy Williams, Shirley, passed away shortly before Christmas. Can't really say it enough, and there's nothing that you could put into words that would essentially make this any better, especially right around the holidays like that. But our thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the entire Williams family during this time. We know that she suffered quite a bit the last several years with a pretty aggressive battle with dementia. And I know that it was very tough on the family, as that is. I have gone through that as well with family members, and it is difficult. So our thoughts are always with the Williams family at this time. Just, you know, a little personal story. I played golf in high school, and our high school course was right near Billy's house. And we used to see him at the club a lot. And I was always afraid to go up to him because, my gosh, it's Billy Williams. And I told him that story once later on after I had met him a few times and gotten to know him from Wrigley a little bit. And he chuckled. And, you know, the irony is he's probably the sweetest man you'll ever meet in your life. So to be afraid to approach him was quite silly. Met Mrs. Williams only one time way back before my wife and I were married. We were at the convention shortly after I got hired. This is way back at Cubs convention when it was still at the Chicago Hilton. Upstairs, kind of at like a private party with Cubs players and their spouses and former players. And Billy and Shirley were there, and just the most gracious people in the world. That was a moment for me kind of looking around the room with my now wife. We weren't married at the time, but kind of playing the game of who doesn't belong here. And let me give you a hint. It was us, but really, really fond memories of that. But long story short, to the entire Williams family, you're in our thoughts and our prayers in this very difficult time. We return with our next episode, which I have been looking forward to for a very long time, the co-host of Waddle and Sylvie, Mark Silverman on ESPN Radio 1000 here in Chicago, joins us. He is a lifelong Cubs fan, a Chicago guy, and I cannot wait to pick his brain regarding 2022 Cubs. If you do think they still have problems, I promise you, he and I will solve them in our next episode. I'm a big fan of Mark's, and I really am looking forward to talking some baseball with him. We will see you then. I want to remind you that after you make us your first listen every day, we ask that you make your second listen, Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Thank you for being with us again. I'm Andrew Bellison. This is Locked On Cubs. We will see you next time. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.